Pastor Dwayne has asked us for a theme, a particular theme, and it was about winning at the game of life, which stemmed off of, I don't know if you heard when James Brown was speaking to all the locations. You know James Brown if you're familiar with the NFL, and he's hosted the Super Bowl, I think, 9 times. And so he was speaking in our church, loving guy, loves the Lord. And he was his message was break the huddle and run the play. And so when Pastor asked us that, hey, make your theme about that, stemming from that, I thought, man, oh man, it just doesn't get any better. I've been wanting to use my experience, my fun with football to integrate it into a message, you know? And so I know there's a lot of guys that are probably enjoying that to take their backgrounds, maybe in sports and that sort of thing. And the lessons that we've learned in sports, I mean, it applies to our life. And it parallels so much of the church world. And so Jesus, what he would do is many times he would speak in parables. And the parables were life situations that paralleled a spiritual truth so that people could grasp a hold of a spiritual truth. When he, like the sower and the seed being the word of God and our hearts being the soil, and where people could grasp hold of what God was trying to get across to them. And so I'll have the opportunity to share with you this morning some of the things that my experiences that God taught me in sports and that sort of thing, but how it has paralleled so much in my life, even in my Christian walk. And what I pray, you know, I'm so grateful for the pastors that we have, not only the campus lead pastors, but all the pastors, Pastor Christian and Frankie and Joy and all the pastors that we have right here. I believe that these guys are truly, they fulfill the Jeremiah scripture where the Lord told the people of Israel, said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will guide you with knowledge and understanding. You know, each of these pastors and the ones that are coming in the coming weeks, they all have a story. They all have things that God has taught them that we can glean from you and I as the body of Christ. And I've always come in, I can go into any church in town that loves the Lord, that follows Jesus, and I can get something out of that service. You know, Brother Hagin would tell us, you know, have the sense of an old cow, eat the hay, and leave the sticks. And I thought, you know, that's great advice to anywhere I go. There's certain things that I can't chew on. I just, oh, that's kind of hard. I'll set that aside and get the good stuff. And so I'm praying for you this morning that you'll get the good stuff. What is it that God would say to you? What is it God would speak into your life today? So, you know, in football, I've learned some truths about football. I've learned some truths about church life. And I want you to know that church life is different than just coming to church once in a while. You know, when I think Christian talked about the CEO Christians, you know, Christmas and Easter only. and there's those, and we're glad that they come and they grow. But, you know, you've realized that going to church, there are certain things that happen that define church life. So let me tell you a couple of things about football. One of the real truths about football. I mean, listen, I believe that everybody's familiar with football. This is Texas. Now, we might have some folks that moved in from out of state or out of country that's a little different from our friend, Pastor Craig Smee. He's from South Africa, and he said, that's not real football. We play football in South Africa. And I thought, you have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, these guys don't even wear pads. He said, you guys wear pads. Well, listen, you got a 300-pound lineman that can run 4.740 running at you. That's real football, man, when he connects you. So it's not a sissy sport, I can tell you that. Can I get a witness from the guys? Come on. All right, that was weak. Come on, you guys. It's all right. We can have fun in church. But listen, one of the things about football, let me show you one of the truths that I understand about football. Let's throw it up here. It's hard-hitting, and sometimes it's painful. Can I get a witness? Sometimes it's painful. It's a lot of pain. But there are great life lessons to learn, not just football, but sports. If you're paying attention, if you apply yourself, and you don't quit, those are principles that really pay off when you're playing in football. You can learn some things in real life lessons of discipline and focus and a lot of things that you apply to your just growing up, maturing, and about life's lessons. Now, let me show you some truths about church life. Church life is hard-hitting and it's sometimes painful. How many of you figured that out? And there are great lessons to learn at church if you pay attention, You apply yourself, and you know what? You don't give up. How many of you discovered church life is not easy? Amen. These are lessons that we learn. They're so parallel, so much, and they're identical in so many ways. And so what James Brown was saying to us, he said, break the huddle and run the play. There's times when you just got to get out of the huddle. Guys, we in here and we're having a good time in this huddle, but when we go get on that line, them boys are going to hit us back. Well, there's got to be a time you got to get out of the huddle and just run the play. And I thought, well, how does that parallel in the Christian walk, in Christianity? Well, there comes a time when you got to get off the pew and do something. It's fun just sitting in a pew, but there's things that's got to take place. So you got to get off the pew and get involved. You know, a lot of these things that I'm sharing with you today, I'm saying from experience. You know, I've played at different levels of schools and sizes of schools, from the B school to the A school to a 4A school. At that time, they didn't have 5A school, but we still played with regular helmets, not the leather ones, okay? Yeah, it wasn't that far back. But they didn't, it's a 4A school, and so, you know, that 4A school, the B school I played in, it was a small community, a small town in West Texas with about 600 people, and I went from playing in a school like that up to my sophomore year and played in school there, and then went over to this 4A school where my senior class had over 500 students. Three classes in high school, so I had over 1,500 kids that I was bumping heads with, had more, twice as many people in my school than were in the town I grew up in. So there's a lot of life lessons and transitions and things to learn and to experience, and I just loved my senior year playing football. It was, you know, we won state championship. There's a lot of great things like that I experienced, and I loved defense and played every game, started every game, and listen, defense is where it's at. Okay, I've got a lot of offense players in here, I guess, this morning. But one thing, through all of those experiences, those different levels, I discovered the same thing in every team, every size of team. The huddle is not where the work is. The huddle is not where the work is. And having Kathy and I pastor two different churches, we've pastored over 22 years now in two churches. And I went from a smaller church where the weekend attendance might be 120 people to a church of what you're sitting in today of maybe 450 or so weekend attendance. You know, the church you're sitting in today and this size of church is in the top 4% of sizes of church in the United States. And that's very exciting. And you're a part of something like that right here in Brownwood, right here in Central Texas. Oh, the opportunities that God can do. But one thing that I've discovered and being in those different sizes of churches and ministry is that the pew is not where the work is. And that like the huddle, it's after the huddle and before the huddle is where all the work is. So there's a few principles there that I'd like to touch on, just because I'm praying that you will have ears to hear what God would say to you this morning about your involvement in the game of life. Now, we've gone, most of us here, we've gone past the sports, and some of you played college ball, and on from there. I had a cousin that played pro ball, but this is, we're talking about life, and life is still going for all of us, and there's things that we need to learn, and one of them, again, is that the pew's not where the work is. The work's happening after the huddle. The huddle is the simplest part. They just get in there and tell you which play to run. I mean, the coach sends in the play. It's like us gathering here today. We're in here to hear what God would say to us. And God's saying, I want y'all to do this. Here's where I want you to go. This is what I want you to follow. Let's get together. Now the work begins. Okay, we're breaking huddle, and let's get involved. God, let's do. Let's work together as a team and see what God can do. So the first thing that happens when you come out of the huddle, for those of you who don't play, haven't played football, the first thing that you do is say, okay, what do I do now? You start looking, and you tag your opponent. This is my play. This is my job. This is what I'm going to do right here. And I know that guy right there is the one I've got to take care of. I've got to take care of him and do my job with that person right there. And you prepared. You're ready. Man, you've done all the preparation, hopefully. You've worked hard, and you're ready for whatever that defense throws at you if you're an offensive player. When you break that huddle, I mean, if he does this or does that, you know he's still your responsibility. If you're that offensive line and you're letting this guy go and let that pulling guard take him out, you still know that guy right there is the one I've got to take care of. Well, life in the Christian walk is the same thing. When you break the huddle and say, God, I'm going to do my part, you tag your opponent and you know I've got to take care of that one. I've got to do whatever it is. I've got to handle that no matter what the opposing team throws at me, he might throw doubt at me. He might throw discouragement in this play, but I know that I've got a part to play and I've got to take care of my opponent. Y'all, are y'all getting any of this so far? We're trying to parallel even our walk today. And so you're focused, you've got undivided attention, and you know that you've got to do your part. And there's a team mentality in football, a team mentality where I've got my part to play. I've got my piece of this to do. I'm counting on my teammate to do his part, and I can't do my part and do his part too. Okay, I don't even have to say it. I can do my part, but you got to do your part. And I got to trust that you'll do your part. You and I working together as a team, you can't do my part. I need to do mine, and you do yours, and we trust one another as a team member, and then we'll see success. We got to play our position. And you know what? Something that you may not understand sitting in the crowds and in the bleachers is that every play is designed to advance the ball. Every play is designed to advance the ball. If you do it right and everybody does their part just right, every play is designed to score. To score. Wouldn't it be nice if we could score with every play? Man, that'd be a runaway. I mean, that'd be awesome. But every play that God has designed for you and I to work together is to advance His kingdom. Advance His kingdom. To score. To win in people's lives. And so the other part of work is after the huddle, but before the huddle. That's the preparation. That's where you prepare and you hone your skills and you practice and you're doing running drills and you're pushing yourself. How many of you remember the two-a-days? Woo, man, they were grueling, right? I mean, they were tough. And you think about a lot of, I don't know, watching some folks that's never played football and coming into playing football and coming into practice, they think the practice is all about just learning the plays. That's just a small portion. But let me tell you the real key to practice. What practice is all about is revealing and discovering your weaknesses. It's not we're just going to go out there and we're going to run these plays. Man, you got to push it to the limit so you can discover your weaknesses of your team and individuals so you can develop those into skills, not weaknesses. Amen. So when you got the coaches out there pushing you and pushing you and pushing you, he's trying to reveal the weakness of the team so he can shore it up. Fit people where they need to fit. Are y'all getting this? Yes. And sometimes you feel like God is pushing us and pushing us and pushing us. He's trying to reveal the weakness, prepare us for growth so we can shore up the weak areas. Yeah. Come on. I don't like God pushing me. Well, maybe you, I don't know. If it were football, I'd say maybe you need to go to another sport. Football is tough and hard-hitting and painful sometimes, right? All right, okay. You got to push yourself. Look at Galatians 6. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions or their own skills. I always loved to see these guys that came on the football team, and boy, they just thought they were the cat's meow. Man, I guess helmet's off, my hair is combed just right. I am super fast. I love to put them in their place. Come on now. Where they had, you know, kind of bring a humbling to them. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Come on, you guys have been playing football. Come on now. Ring their bell a couple of times. And, whoa, baby. Maybe I need to watch this. I need to do this. I got some work. I love that. Well, the same thing in the church world. We need to be not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And we need to put our skills and develop our skills and put them into place. And then it said, verse 4, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. That's confidence. That's confidence. And see, you and I need to go through the preparation and the times of preparing and practicing so that we have the confidence when we step in that game and the teammates we play with have the confidence that we can do what we need to do and they can do what they need to do without covering us. There's nothing more gratifying when you are able to push past your weaknesses and develop those areas into strengths and become a viable part of a team. Now I want to, you know, what we need to do is when we improve all these areas, these skills, and when it comes to time to play, we'll be at our best. Let me show someone. I'm going to condense this because we're in this service and we're going to have baptism. So the extended version was the first service, okay? But listen, if you go to 1 Samuel 17, you're going to read about David. David in his youth. And David's confidence when he stood against Goliath, If you'll remember the story, go read it. I'm just, for the sake of time, not going to go to all these scriptures. But there was a time his dad took him out of the field. His brothers, they were fine-looking, strapping men, man. And they were in the armies of the Israelites, and they were soldiers in the army. And his dad told David, say, take this food and go check on your brothers and see how they fare. See how they're doing. Check on them. And so David, man, David was, he was already a champion at that point. He was young. He wasn't recognized. Listen, you don't have to be an old codger to be a champion. You don't have to be an old codger to be a leader in the kingdom of God. I many times talk about our kids. They're not the leaders of tomorrow. They're the leaders of today as they share the gospel with their friends, their family, and their loved ones. Even they can step up and be known for what they are. And David went to check on his brothers, and so they had battle in the day, and they separate. But every day there was this giant that stood out before the armies of the living God, would defy them and say, bring you out a champion that we might fight. And whoever wins, then they will be served by the opposing army. And so the Philistine would go out, and every day, day and night, 40 days, and challenge Israel. Said, come out and fight. Well, they were shaking in their boots. I'm not going to fight that 9-foot-tall warrior. I mean, they were trying to get him in battle to come out and fight, hoping that, you know, maybe somebody can get a spear in him, but it wasn't working so good. But one day, David was there, and he heard Goliath challenging the armies of the living God. And he said, man, who's going to get what when they take this joker out? Who's going to get what? And I want to read this one to you, verse 25. Verse 25. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will do three things for him. First of all, he's going to enrich him with great riches. He's going to increase his bank account. Why? Because I'm fixing to give him my daughter as well, and she's used to a certain lifestyle, you know. So I figure that's what that was all about. And he said, I'm going to give him my daughter to wed. But you know, I don't think that was good enough, because he threw a third thing in there that I think the rest of us might jump on. Because he went on and he said, and I will give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Boy, that's a motivator. I mean, if we could play a state game in football and whoever wins would get no more taxes, they'd be a lot better competition going on. They'd be a lot better support from the family. Say, win, win, win. Are y'all with me? Anyway, okay, I've had a little fun there. That's my fun. But he said, man, David heard it. And in verse 26, he said, man, who's going to get what from killing this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? And here's his comment. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I'll take him out. Coach, put me in the game. Put me in the game. Come on, I'm ready. Let me hit him. Put me in there. Put me in the game, God. That ought to be our attitude. Y'all with me? Come on now. And in verse 31, and all those guys are going, ooh, I don't know. I don't know. I ain't going. And David said, he said, listen, he got with Saul. Saul heard the words that he spoke, and he sent for David. In verse 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He said, put me in the game, coach. Put me in the game. That devil's a lying, defeated foe. Put me in there, God. Let me take him out. Let me stand against him. Let me stand in the gap. Put me in the game, Lord. But the other thing, and if you'll read on, the other verses where David began to explain to Saul, he's telling Saul, I've been here before. I mean, a lion and a bear, they came against me to take the sheep, and I took them, and I smote them, and I killed them, and this Philistine will be just as one of them. He went in practicing trusting God, walking in faith with God, saw God's faithfulness, had confidence in that, and boy, when it came time to play, he was ready to go. How many of us can say that? How many of us are standing like that? So one of the things you got to do is develop your weaknesses. You got to develop your endurance. Listen, when I was playing that football through those years in high school, I realized I needed to develop my endurance, develop my strength and my health. And a lot of the guys that played, a lot of them would go out on weekends and drink beer and play and party. And I just wasn't going to do that. Man, because I want to win. I want to win. I want to be the best that I can be. And I've got to eat right. Listen, you got to eat right if you want to be healthy. But how many Christians today are not eating right? I'm not talking about when you go home and lunch today. I'm not talking about beans on a boil, but I'm talking about spiritual vegetables. Because a lot of people, they just want to eat junk. Man, give me the sweets, man. I mean, I like the sweets, man. I want what tastes good. You know, I want the sweet, the good stuff. But listen, sometimes you got to eat your vegetables like forgiveness, long-suffering, kindness. You got to balance out what you're intake so that you can be healthy, a healthy Christian. So when it comes time to stand against the enemy, you can win and not lose. You got to develop your endurance. James 4:8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And I'm thinking, man, we're either in or we're not. You're either all in or you're not. If you're just going to play halfway, if you're just going to be half in, that's the results of what you'll get back. Are you all in with God? Where's our spiritual health in that? And also, we've got to develop this trust with our players. You help each other develop your skills. When I played defense, and I was probably the littlest nose man in the whole league, man. I mean, you got a nose man playing class 4A and championship team that weighs 165 pounds. That's tiny, you know. But guys would double team me and triple team me. But when I went to practice and played with my teammates, I'm going to help them find their weaknesses too. I'm going to push. I played as hard in the practice as I did in the games. Are y'all with me? Because I need to develop. If he's going to stand against the defense and help us win this state championship, then he's going to have to handle me. Are y'all with me? So we got to encourage our brothers and sisters in the kingdom and help them develop their gifts and bring them up to it. And them challenging me. If I'm going to get better, they're going to have to challenge me. They're going to have to be the best offensive line so that I can be better at what I do. Am I making sense? I'm not trying to be braggadocious, just things that we learn and things that we do in the kingdom. It was a great experience. I felt, even in practice, I contributed to the championship of that team by pushing my teammates. You and I have got to provoke one another to love and good works, to come up. You got to have friends on your team that'll tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. Because I want to be better. I want to be the best that I can be, and I want you to be the best. So it's this team mentality and develop a trust. When you do that, Ecclesiastes says this, and one standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There are no one-man shows in Christianity. There are no one-man shows in a championship team. We're teammates. We're in this together. You got to develop your focus to prepare your heart, like I was sharing before Jubilee. Go to the sower and the seed and study that out. Listen, if you're going to prepare your heart to hear God and hear your coach, hear God, you got to get the pollution out of your heart. You got to get rid of the distractions in your heart to be good soil. You got to get rid of the immaturity to be good soil so where you can hear the voice of God, to hear your coach. In 1 Thessalonians 5, and you've got to want to have a desire to follow the vision of the coach. You got to trust them. They know better about what's going on than you know. They got a lay of the land. And I trust that my pastor, I've done this with Pastor Dwayne. I've got to fit with his vision so that my vision can fit. In 1 Thessalonians, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. So playing that game and playing with one another on a team is about the goal of winning. It's the goal of my coaches and the goal of my... Y'all understand that? It's about God and His kingdom, not about me. Yeah. It's for the kingdom's sake that I got to be obedient to the Lord and hear His voice, not doing my own thing. So preparation is the most intense and arduous part. And you know, when I was in junior high, and the coaches used to say this, said, practice makes perfect. You know what, as I stepped into high school and some of these championship teams, I realized that's not true. That's not true at all. Practice, I saw a lot of guys show up for practice, but they weren't any better after than when they started. Yeah. But then I realized perfect practice makes you perform perfectly. You got to get it right in the practice area. Yeah. So when you practice forgiveness and you practice thankfulness perfectly, then it becomes a part of who you are. And you don't have to, it's just when the time comes, it just comes out of you. So you got to, sometimes, listen, forgiveness is one of those things you got to perfect. Come on. Sometimes you don't want to forgive. And you got to forgive by faith. God, I got to be a forgiving person. So I'm going to walk in forgiveness. God, I need to be thankful that you have all the answers. I need to be thankful. So I'm going to practice thankfulness. And then when the challenges come, it just comes out of you. It's part of who you are. When you become perfect in the basics, you overcome this perceived shortages that are in your life. I love Pastor Lee. I love Pastor Lee, one of our pastors. And I heard him say one time, it's so good. He said, man, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm still in the drawer. I haven't quit, backed up, backed down, or backed away at all. I'm still in the drawer, and I'm going to follow God. That's what we need to be. Praise God. So see, bad preparation and that bad accountability for ourselves equals bad performance. So you got to become, when you become perfect in those basics, you're going to succeed. Winning at the game of life. Now, one other thing. How many of you want to win at the game of life? I mean, I want to win. And I've got to realize that a winning lifestyle is connected to the body of Christ. I can't be an island to myself. If I'm going to win in life, I've got to be connected to what God's doing. Listen, if you win at home, you'll win here. If you win here, you will at home. It's all connected. We don't want to play games. Men don't come up here and playing like you're winning and you're losing at home. But it's all connected. We all walk together and we want a winning lifestyle. And another thing, you got to develop to develop a winning team. Here's one thing that I realized going through those experiences, that the team that I played my senior year, class 4A, it was a new school. It was only in its sixth year of development, and we were the smallest team in the whole league. When I stand across the field from all these other teams, sometimes they would have three times as many players and a whole lot bigger. A whole lot bigger. But man, we decided we'd work hard for that championship. We would develop who we had. And listen, you got to build your dream team out of who you have. You build a winning team. I believe for us to win, impacting Central Texas right here in Brownwood area, all these communities, our winning team is right here. You got to build a winning team out of who you have. We can't be saying, listen, Lord, if we just had this person from location number 9, if he could come move down here, or this person from location number 3 could come to Brownwood, we'd have a winning team. We got a winning team right here if you step up to what God's doing in your life. And you join the team and you show up and sign up and develop your skills and your talents. See, listen, not everybody can play quarterback or receiver. Not everybody gets to do that. But see, from my standpoint, my terminology would be a little bit different. Mine is not everybody gets to, but not everybody has to play quarterback or has to be a receiver. Man, some of us get to play tackle and we get to knock people on their backside. Why would you want to be the guy throwing a ball when there's this thing called tackle? We get to tackle the guy with a ball. We get to deliver a little bit of pain, you know what I'm saying? And I hope you're hearing this. I hope you're getting this. Not everybody gets to be in a pulpit. Why would you want to be in a pulpit when, man, you can be out there in the life groups and interacting with people on the streets and just being there and impacting lives, man? Man, when we were in Sherman, we joined in 2000, and we were in Sherman those 5 years before we came here, and Kathy and I were care group leaders, and we led a home group, and it's like our life groups here. And man, I could go to church, and I could greet people at the door. I could meet our first-time guests and meet them, hear their stories, shake hands, and it was perfect. It was awesome. I could go in and out of all of that and just interact with people. And then Pastor asked me to speak one Wednesday night. And I went back and I said, Pastor, you done messed me up, man. You done messed me up. He said, what are you talking about? I said, because, you know, when you speak in Pastor Duane's pulpit, people had decided that you must be something special. And I'm thinking, oh, my word. He messed me up because all these people, I couldn't go meet the first time. All these people come around and want to talk to me, want to meet me. And I'm thinking, I can't even go to the door and meet people. So not everybody gets the pulpit. Sometimes it's a good thing not to get the pulpit. And when you're interacting with people in the life groups, day-to-day interaction, when you take them one level higher and encouraging them, come on now, listen to me, don't lose me here. When you encourage someone in the kingdom, encourage their life, and they step up one level doing better and more excited, you've knocked the devil on his backside. He's trying to win, but you've helped knock him on his... Why would I want to have to do this or that when I get to knock the devil on his backside, man? Okay, that's just a defense attitude, okay? I love having that attitude. Praise God. Trusting God. Trust God in his leadership. Man, it's like listening to the voice of your coach. You tune your voice in. When you tune your voice into that coach, you're ignoring the crowd. Some of you football players, some of you I know played football. Do you remember when you were in, boy, you were into the game? You didn't even know those folks were here. Is there anybody that can witness to that? Anybody besides me? I see one, two. See, you guys, when you're playing, you don't even, it's like those guys don't even exist, right? You're not paying attention to them. That game that we played, that state game, was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, 19,000 people. It's like I didn't even know they were there. And through some of those experiences, here's the things that I've learned. Here's what I want to encourage you now, because you might find yourself in one of these three categories. I found three categories of players when we talk about football, and I see this in the church world as well. You have your players, and I'm gonna define what my definition, a little bit of the bench warmer. You find your bench warmers. It's not necessarily maybe what you're thinking, but what I'm thinking may be different. So you have your players, you have your bench warmers, and then you have your dropouts. So players are those guys on the line standing up there engaged in the game. They may not be in there playing right then, but they're up there saying, boy, I'm ready. Anytime, coach, you see me, I'm ready to get in the game. I'm right here, and you're connected to all that's going on. Are y'all with me? And then you have your bench warmers. What I define as bench warmers are the guys that they're fully satisfied with just sitting on the bench. Lord, just give me a jersey and a helmet and give me that little patch that says I was part of the varsity, but I don't want to go in there and play. Man, they're knocking heads in there, you know. They might give me the ball and somebody, but they're more, hey, just let me sit right here and I can wave at mama and daddy and I can be watching the cheerleaders. Listening to all the armchair quarterbacks out there telling us what ought to be doing, what we ought not be doing. There's a lot of people today that are they're satisfied with sitting on the bench, the bench warmer, and they're listening. And what happens is you submit yourself to listening to all the armchair quarterbacks saying how it ought to go when you ought to be plugged in with a coach and following him and engaged in the game. And then, you know, the dropouts. I changed that from the terminology from way back then because I want to apply it with a little more love. I don't want you getting mad at me, you know. Back then, we used to say those are the quitters. But it's really people that dropped out because maybe they couldn't take the hit. Maybe they couldn't stand the pain and what it comes with getting engaged in church life or getting engaged in sports. But sometimes, here's the thing that I would want to encourage. And I've encouraged a lot of guys to step up when I was back playing and get involved and get on the team. Some of them did real well. And to try to, even kids since then, when their coaches are trying to help them, is listen, the guys who really get hit hard, the guys that really get taken out, are the guys that are sitting around twiddling their thumbs. I mean, if you're going to be engaged, you need to be looking for someone to take out the devil. You need to be, but if you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs, man, the devil's looking for people like you. Because he can blindside you. You ain't star, you never, never land, you know, and you're just out there. And you're not really engaged in the game and taking it to the enemy. Y'all with me? So I'm just trying to encourage you in this. Maybe some of you have really had some hard hits. Maybe the enemy hits you so hard, emotionally or whatever encounters that you've had, even in the church life. If you ever want to experience pain, go to church. You know what I'm saying? Because there's not perfect people in church. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in church that it's hard hitting, sometimes painful. But there's a lot of life lessons to learn if you pay attention, get involved, and you don't quit. And what I want to say to you, maybe you're the person, I believe there's people probably sitting in both services today that they're just kind of like that dropout. They've disconnected. No, I don't think I'm going to connect. I don't think I'm really going to jump all in because that's a little more pain than what I'm willing to endure. Well, maybe you got hit. Maybe you had a foul hit. Maybe you had, come on now, get up off the ground. Get up off the bench and engage again. Get back in the game. I mean, all in. God, I'm all in. This baptism today, all these guys that have been baptized today are saying, I'm joining the team. I'm publicly joining the team. God, give me the jersey. Jesus, give me the jersey. I'm all in. I want to join the team. Now, God, take them and train them and teach them and develop their gifts and talents in the kingdom for the kingdom's sake. So I'm going to close with this, and I know I'm running a little bit long, and I'm fixing to turn it over to Pastor Christian. But listen, I want to ask you four questions. Because listen, you can't become a champion without adversity, without challenge. And I hope that you can answer these questions today with a good heart before God. And number one is, are you truly signed up to play? Are you all in with God? Are you all in with God? And I love what Chris Hodges said. I wrote down this quote. If I want something I've never had, I need to do something I've never done. You want something truly from God, and you want to experience things that's beyond even your imagination, then say, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm going to make you the Lord of my life. I'm all in. I'm joining the game. Number two is, are you willing to sacrifice and work hard for the win? Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take a lot of work. And are you willing to find your place on the team? So, God, you plug me in where I fit. Lord, I don't know for sure exactly where I fit here, but find my position. Help me. My defensive coach, when I joined that team my senior year, he said, Roberts, you just hang on. We're going to find out where you fit. And I trusted him too, and we did well. And the last one is, are you willing to trust God as your coach? As your coach. Are you willing to trust God? That's where it comes down to. God's got a better plan for your life. He's got the lay of the land. And you got to trust God in all that you do. And I want to encourage you, man, if you've been injured or hurt, I pray that God will heal that up and you get back in the game of life. Get back in the game of what God wants you to do for the kingdom's sake. Say, God, I want on the team. Because I believe, sincerely believe with all my heart, that there are opportunities to be had in the kingdom. And there's something about opportunities you need to realize. There are great opportunities right here for us. I know some of you here today may be from another church location, but we're still all in this together. But there's a great opportunity for the church, to impact Central Texas in such an amazing way. And it's an opportunity, but it takes all of us working together, all of us doing our part. And I'll tell you something about opportunities. They don't last forever. They don't last forever. And so you need to jump in with what God is providing for you. And I believe that we really do have, we can poise ourselves and position ourselves to impact the kingdom of God in a way that you can't even imagine. It's just by trusting God. What is your part today? So, all right. And I want to say the guys that are being baptized today, I'm just so proud of them, so excited. And it's going to be such an honor. And it's saying, man, I'm on the team. I've asked Jesus in my heart, and I'm telling the world that Jesus is my Lord. And that's the whole essence of what it is. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Christian to come back up, and I want to introduce you to the candidates before we start our baptism. And so, Pastor, I'll turn it over to you.